happened on a Sunday. Two of us were heading home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Our 7-mile hike began with quite an animated discussion between me and my friend. We were trying to figure out, why did Jesus get himself killed? Oh, it was frustrating and it was grievous for us. Then, as we were walking along, a stranger just kind of joined us with our journey and inserted himself in our conversation, and he asked, "What is it you're talking about?" with such intensity. Well, stopping in the road, we caught our breath. We wept a little bit. And I pulled out some of my hair, thinking about what had just happened a couple days before. You can see that I'm missing some parts. And because I was agitated, you know what that's like? I snapped at this stranger. I said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened this Passover to Jesus?" He simply replied, "Oh, what things happened?" He had a way of drawing us out. So I told him about Jesus of Nazareth, explaining that he was a prophet who did mighty miracles and spoke wonderful words. Yet our lead priests and our infamous rulers, they decided out of jealousy to give him over to Pilate to be crucified. Pilate actually went and crucified an innocent prophet of God. And he was clearly dead. We asked Joseph and Nicodemus about it, and they said, "Oh, he was going white when we put him in Joseph's grave." So, Luke, I went on and I told the stranger about how we were followers of Jesus of Nazareth, and we thought that he was the one that would deliver all of Israel from the brutal Romans. I mean, think of the things that he did. He raised a man called Lazarus from the dead. And we saw Lazarus. And he did tremendous things. He walked on water. And it was deep. And it was stormy. Oh my goodness, the amazing things he did. In fact, it was just a week ago that he came into the city on a donkey and we cried out, "Hosanna," which means deliver us. We really believed that he would deliver us from the Roman oppression. Well, today, Luke, it's the third day since his death. And I got to tell you, something really strange happened this morning. Some of our women folk, they've been following Jesus along with us for 3.5 years. Well, they got up while it was still dark. And look, they went to the tomb to make sure that Jesus' burial was done right. Apparently, they didn't think Joseph and Nicodemus would do a very good job being men. And they got to the tomb, and they found it empty, just grave clothes. And now, look, I don't know about this, but they said that a vision of angels came to them. Yeah, right. Vision of angels. And the angels told the women that Jesus had come back to life. He was no longer there. I go, yeah. In fact, I even asked those women, "Have you seen Jesus?" They said, "No." I mean, yeah, what happened? He just kind of got up from the dead, and while the tomb had a big rock in it, he just kind of walked out the back end. Is that what happened? Fortunately for us Jews, you should know, Luke, being a Greek, but we want you to know that in Jewish law, you have to have men to be witnesses, not women. Oh, those women. stranger. He shook his head at me and my friend. And I remember his words to us. They were stern, but he had a bit of a smile with them. He said, "Oh, you men, you're not thinking clearly. You just can't get it, can you? You need to simply accept what the prophets spoke. They taught the Messiah must suffer all the things that happened to your Jesus before he would enter into his glory." He kind of said we needed to listen to the women. Then it was amazing how the stranger went and walked us through our scriptures from the writings of Moses through all of the prophets, showing us clearly that indeed the Messiah had to suffer the things that Jesus suffered, and that he would come back to life again and return to rule. Look, it was an amazing lesson. Would you like to kind of have a taste of what he taught us on the road to Emmaus? Okay, let's see what I can remember. He first began talking about what Moses said, that Eve would have a child who would be bruised to defeat Satan. And then he told us about God's promise to Abraham, and that Abraham would have a son through whom all the world would be blessed. And that son, just like Abraham's son Isaac, would be brought to be a sacrifice, to be a substitute for our sin. And then he told us about David and how David was promised that one of his children would one day rule on David's throne permanently, forever and ever. But that one first must, like David, have his hands and feet pierced. And then he would be put in a grave but would not undergo any decay, but be raised up to be exalted as Lord. And all of a sudden, these pieces were beginning to kind of fit together. And he told us that Isaiah said that one is going to become, who's going to be the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, who the Lord would be pleased to crush, to carry our sins, to bear our iniquities. And yet he would see and prolong his days. The good pleasure of the Lord would be upon him. And all of a sudden we began to see that the Old Testament prophets talked about one who would die like Jesus died and come back to life again. From Daniel, he taught us that Messiah would come 483 years after the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And we got our calculators out. We figured that that's exactly when Jesus came and died. And that is the one who the Son of Man is going to be coming in the clouds to rule forever. From Micah, our stranger reminded us that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem, and that Micah said he would arise to shepherd Israel in his majesty. From Zechariah, he affirmed that Messiah would come on a donkey and would be pierced through in Jerusalem. Later, Zechariah said he would come as king, deliver the people of Israel, and rule over the world. Wow. And Luke, that's just a little smidgen of what this stranger taught us on our 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. His words stirred our heart and our minds with understanding. Well, Luke, to complete the story, let me tell you what happened next. We arrived in Emmaus at our home, and the stranger was heading further, so we invited him to stay. And it was getting dark. So he agreed to stay, and we got around our humble meal table, and we all laid down, as we do, to eat. And we asked the stranger, since he was such a wonderful teacher, if he would ask the blessing on our food. And then he did something, oh, so familiar. He took the loaf of bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and distributed to us. And as he did that, our eyes were opened. We understood who he is. We recognized he's no stranger. He's our friend. He's the Messiah. He's our risen Lord. Oh, our hearts were so stirred and moved within us. Then he was gone. He just disappeared, just poof, vanished like that, Luke. Oh, and we looked at each other and we said, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So we did what every witness of Jesus' resurrection should do. We returned to Jerusalem that evening. We found the apostles and the other disciples gathered together. And before we had a chance to tell them our thrilling news, they told us, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon Peter. Oh, well, we provided a second and a third witness of the fact that Jesus, Luke, we saw him. He had risen. He has risen. He has
risen.
Amen. He is risen.
He is risen.
We have a great God, don't we? That gave us his Son. And we have wonderful records. In four Gospels, we have four witnesses that God's own Son died for our sin and rose again. And I trust each one of us here this morning have made that personal. That you believe for yourself that Jesus is alive and that he died for your sin. And if you haven't made that step of faith, I encourage you to do it today. I know my dear wife's mother, Elaine, it was on an Easter that she trusted in Jesus and baptized to show that she believed that Jesus died for her and rose again. And I encourage you, if you don't know Christ, to talk to any of us who have been up here today. Even these girls can help you. But we'd love to talk with you and help you to come to know Jesus if you don't know him yet. Lord, we thank you that you gave your Son for us, that we might have eternal life.